Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
Yeah. Well, how good is it to be together? Christmas Eve, I love it. Because I think this is a throwback to the traditions of old, which is my world and the church world, and then they collide on Christmas Eve. And I think there's a little bit of culture that creeps into us that says, you know, this is kind of my time, you know, Christmas Eve traditions, and I should be at home, you know, with pancakes, and then church is over here. And I think God's restoring the fullness of what it means to be a Christian, I believe. And we're with family. We're with spiritual family. We're with the church this morning. It's Christmas Eve, and yet there's some conflict. There's some, hey, I kind of looking forward to being home, and this is a sacrifice, and yet God honors it. And so I welcome you here on Christmas Eve. Thank you for coming, and it's a candlelight service, but I have been bought by the blood and filled with the Spirit, and so it's hard for me to talk about Jesus in a calm way. It's not the way I'm made. I also was trying to write a very simple message. I was trying to write Luke chapter 2 and maybe read something, and it was the night before Christmas, and then something about Mary, and yet God gave me a full-on word. So if it's cool, if this is your first time, I apologize in advance. I'm a preacher of the Word of God, and I also believe that we live in a culture oftentimes where it feels like we're missionaries, we're reaching people, and there's conflict sometimes in regards to truth, and this is a place of faith. This is a place where we read the Word of God, and the Word builds our faith. And here we are celebrating the Word Himself coming to planet Earth and taking on flesh and changing the world forever. And some people believe, and some people don't. We don't understand it. But believing in Jesus is not the matriculation of knowledge where you come to a place and you go, oh, I've been enlightened now. It's an inner enlightenment that comes. We call it illumination, and we have the revelation. But it comes from the Word Himself. It comes from knowing Jesus. It comes from hearing the Word of God. Amen? So I want to speak this morning on faith. God woke me up the other night and just said, man, there's something about Mary. And I said, well, that's a movie. I need a new line. But there was something about Mary that just was in my spirit. And so I want to talk about Mary. I want to talk about the mother of Jesus, and I want to talk about faith. I want to speak on the gift of faith. If you need faith this morning, come up here right now, and I'm going to know. And whether maybe you're doing well in faith, wherever you're at, I believe that Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of faith, that he wants to give you faith this morning. And everything comes from faith. Amen? Everything comes from faith. And I want to speak this morning on the gift of faith. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. How good was it to sing Christmas carols and worship to carols? Sometimes it's interesting, right, just to go just full on into a Christmas carol. But I think it's awesome. It's amazing to sing carols in church and then to be at the mall and these lines and these carols sometimes where sinners and saints are reconciled through Christ. You're like, man, that's powerful. And I'm at the mall singing that. It's pretty awesome. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. How do you find favor with God? And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how? I love it. She just gets real practical. Well, okay, how's this going to happen? How's this going to go down? What's the plan? since I do not know a man. And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And she's like, oh, okay, good. All right, got the details there. All, no problem. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. That's so good, we need to read that again. For with God, not man, but with God, nothing, no thing will be impossible. Something always has to happen with God. The one thing God can't do is nothing. So that means with God, something's going to happen. So you thought you came to a candlelight service, but God can't do nothing. So you're going to see more than candlelight. You might see the light himself. Amen. Now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias. We got this. And greeted Elizabeth. And it happened while Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. People speak and prophesy out of what's already happening in the spirit. So she's already heard this from God, and now Elizabeth, the prophet, is just simply recognizing that. And she spoke out loud, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed. Blessed is she who believed. Did the blessing come first or the believing? It seems that the believing came first. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the gift of faith. How do I get it? It's a gift. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we could be in church on Christmas Eve. It might be a new tradition, it might be an old tradition, but Lord, here we are as saints and sinners called out of darkness into your glorious light. Lord, we celebrate you. Whether we're just meeting you right now or we've served you for 40 years, this is all about Jesus. This is all about a relationship and knowing Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we prepare our hearts. We prepare our barns, our mangers, our all of the chaos of our soul and the darkness of our minds and souls and the depravity that is the human experience. But Lord, our hope is in you. You, all things are possible with you. And so as you come into our hearts this Christmas Eve, as you come into our souls this Christmas Eve, as you come into our physical bodies, as we can feel your manifest presence, all possibilities now awakening, and hope is awakening, and possibilities are awakening. God, we thank you that all of that is made possible because of you. Possibilities are in your presence and in your word. And in Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I consider myself a pretty good conversationalist. I feel like I can have a conversation with anybody and do pretty good. It's the starting of the conversations that I'm horrible at. I don't know how to start conversations. I feel like I was a good greeter too. I used to be able to, like, you know, in church you kind of do a side hug, or if you're hugging a girl, you know, you kind of the holy hug, and then dudes were like, raw. And then I went to Australia, and I was doing good. Kind of knowing how to approach people, handshake, hug, side hug, handshake, wave. Don't know that person, I'm not going to throw a hug on them. And then I go to Australia and they're kissing, and they're like doing one kiss and then two kisses. And some people, they go to the no man's land. You know who you Aussies are. And they, Carrie got approached a lot in this area. It's like Switzerland for all you kissers. They took advantage of the... It was on the cheek. Was it? It was on the border. It was on the border. Anyways, so coming back from Australia, I'm just jacked up. I just get so much anxiety in greeting people. I go for the hand and I strike, and they're like, They hug. So it's a very awkward experience. Come up and try it this morning after church. But I don't know. It's the same thing with starting conversations. And again, I don't know if it's because I'm reacting to the way I was brought up, you know, nature, nurture. I don't really know. I had a lot of pastors and leaders anytime they wanted to speak into my life, they wanted to do coffee. And so it was always, hey, we should do coffee. And I was like, oh, cool, we want to do coffee. But then I found out it really wasn't coffee. It was that they wanted to correct me. Amen. But constructively. I don't know who came up with that phrase. I'm going to tear you apart, but it's good. It's really good. I'm going to spank your soul. I'm going to shoot your soul. And it's good. Amen. All right. I don't know. So and then there was this leadership book going on, like if you got a disciple, you're raising up a young man or young woman in the way, you know, say 7 positive things before you bring in the constructive criticism. So I started to see the pattern. Hey, Isaac, man, you're doing so well. Thank you. I feel like I'm like a lamb led to slaughter. Thank you. Your sermons have really gotten better. Me? Stop. The kids will love you. Well, you know. But then I noticed they didn't stop at 2 or 3. They started, and now I got scared because I'm like, if we get to 7, I don't even hear any of it. It's just white noise. I just want to be, stop it. No, you're amazing. Stop it. Just get to the 8th one. Drop the nuclear bomb on my ministry. And so the great point, though, is you get to 7 wonderful things about yourself, and then they would do the thing, you know, and then I'd be like, okay, I didn't see that before. And they say, yeah, it's a blind spot. Oh. So only you can see it. I'm like, well, that's convenient. I feel like I'm in a bit of a pickle here. So I use that on Carrie all the time. And it's like, babe, there's a couple things. She's like, I didn't see that before. I'm like, blind spot. God gave me you. God gave me to you. To help you with all your blind spots. So we're still working on a few blind spots with Carrie. But, yeah, so I don't know. It kind of set me into a tailspin on conflict resolution or how do you say something to a team member. It's not a big thing. Even if it was, I'd be like, hey, it's no big deal. I just like butter, trying to like make something sound not a big deal. Hey, bro, it's not a big deal. Johnny turned on the snow machine in the first service. He literally sat on the remote. And so let's just say Monday morning, I'm like, hey, bro, let's do coffee. Hey, it's not a big deal. But yeah, that was embarrassing, bro. You like blew snow into the first service. But like, hey, just next time, could you just maybe not put the remote control for the snow machine near your butt? You know, it's like, how do you do this? How do you talk to your wife? Is there ever like a great time? Yeah. Hey, babe, there's something you said the other day. Can you want to talk about that? She's like, out the door. Yeah. I said, no, yeah. We act like there's this bubble of time called talking. It's just going to happen. Hey, let's go to the bubble. Like, there's no bubble that exists. So, I don't know. I try to just get to it. If there's something, I'm just like, hey, is there something? We cool? Is it good? Is it good? Something? We good? Yeah. I just had a thought. You know, the other day, just let's just get to it because I don't want to sit on it and I don't want to have coffee in 3 months and think about it. Right? The problem is that's got me in trouble a little bit because I'll just be like, hey, Jared, do you know, dude, it's not even a big deal, dude, but like, hey, do you think, like, dude, bro, and I, boom, and he's like, right here, right now, and was like pulling on his jeans, yeah, no, I just wanted to get it out of the way, it's not a big deal, he's like, do you think we're gonna have coffee about this? No, I don't do coffees, I do it right here on my time, because it's healthier, and it's more functional. Anyways, I'm still in healing. I've lost most of you during this conversation. But the point is, I'm still trying to figure out how to have conversations with my wife, how to have conversations with my kids, especially if it's important to me, especially if it's valuable. So I was thinking about this conversation that Mary was about to have with Joseph. And you just think about, we know the end from the beginning. But if you think about the beginning of that conversation, is how do you have that conversation? How does Mary, a teenage girl, approach a man, not just a man, a prominent man, an elder, a man of influence of the house of David? And how do you have this conversation? Just imagine. Hey, Joseph, Hey, how you doing? First, I just want to see how you're doing. How was your yesterday? Good. Hey, I want to tell you, you know, when someone asks you a question, they just want to, like, maybe talk about themselves. Right. Joseph, let's talk about you. I just want to talk about you. Hey, saw an angel yesterday. Oh, that's cool. Like, how do you start this conversation? Like, hey, Holy Spirit's pretty cool, huh? It's doing a lot of things, I heard. Birthing things in people. Like, literally. Joseph, you sure seem to love kids. We could fast track this thing, right? I don't know how you start that conversation, but somehow she was able to have this conversation, but not just have this conversation, because again, this conversation could have gotten her killed. We forget 2000. Now it's like, okay, it's an inconvenience. Back then, it's a death sentence, and not just a death sentence, it's a social death sentence. At this little town of Galilee, right out of a Hallmark movie, it's perfect. I've been there. There's palm trees. There's this Sea of Galilee. There's this little town. It's just quaint. It's perfect. Got this little teenage girl. Her life is perfect. And all of a sudden, this thing happens to her. And now she has to have this conversation. How do you even begin to have this conversation where basically your life, if Joseph doesn't believe you, you could quite possibly be pulled in front of the elders and killed. Well, let's look to the angels. How does the angel start his conversation? The angel shows up and doesn't give us a balanced speech of preparation. Okay, Mary, you're going to be blessed, but there's a caveat. Okay, there's some fine print. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a burden to this blessing. There's going to be a lot of things you need. It's amazing the things that we tell people in order to prepare them. Oh, you're getting married. Okay, it's not all chocolate and roses. The first year is going to be hard, and the 7-year itch. And have you heard about the 10-year? No, stop right there. I'm cool. I don't know. But the angel shows up and says, rejoice! Rejoice, Mary! You're chosen! You're favored! The Lord is with you! You are blessed among your generation! This is how the angel starts it off, with this word of faith, this word of prophecy, and it's this word that would carry her entire life. This woman of faith, starting from the first conversation that would lead her to being pregnant with the Son of God, to giving birth to in a barn, 9 months pregnant on a donkey. It seems not once does Mary despise the call of God. She gets angry at God or bitter at God. Throughout her life, for 30 years, she had to hold this family together, most of which all of the kids did not believe in her son, Jesus. So could you imagine dinner time? Like, she was pregnant. She got pregnant before she was married. That's why when she tells the servants at the wedding 30 years later, whatever he says to you, do it. I mean, there must have been some unction in her words and faith because of what she had received and experienced. And yet, she's got this grace and humility to have James and her brothers and sisters all at the table for 30 years of dinners. And hey, Jesus is coming home. And James rolling his eyes. Wonder if he walked on water again. And Mary's like, just, here's some bread. He's the bread of life. I know. And somehow by faith, she's pulling this family together. And somehow by faith, she goes through 3 years of ministry where Jesus, her son, that she carried and nursed, turns the whole region upside down and then sees all of the disciples betray him. And yet she's standing at the cross full of faith with the death of her son, with the death of the word, watching her son who she nursed get torn to pieces on a cross, tortured by Roman centurions. And yet she's there in the resurrection, and she's there, and she walks, and as a woman of faith, just steady and consistent, putting all of her faith and trust in the word of God. And she's at Pentecost. She's there after Jesus goes up, and she's there in the prayer meeting. She's this woman of faith. She's this woman of faith. I love when the angel comes to her and says, rejoice, and you're highly favored. And she's meek, and she's humble, and she's like, me? I think some of us would, if an angel showed up and said, hey, you're highly favored, you're chosen, you're going to do some big things in your generation. I think some of us be like, that sounds about right. I mean, I've been prophesied over a few times, and my mom said I was, you know, and some friends and some pastors really poured into me over the years, and I'd have to confirm, Angel, that we're in alignment with those things. And but Mary's like, whoa, because all of her fear was in God and not man. And I just wonder if this generation is our fear is in man, and we're serving men and we're serving people because of the conflict of interest of truth and their feelings and their emotions. And yet Mary is all in the fear of God. And I love how even current theologians, we kind of take out the word fear and we only define in the original language the word fear by awe. Well, it's really the awe of God. Yeah, but it's a little bit of the fear. It's a little bit of the, oh, he's watching you. We used to say that to kids going to prom, the big eye in the sky. He's watching you. Like he kind of is. Like he cares about what you do and don't do. Like it matters what you do. The enemy snuck into the garden, and the first part of sin and lying and death was to tell Adam and Eve, it doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. Whether you obey God or not, it's not a big deal. That's one of the spirits of this age, is it's not a big deal. And so we wonder why people don't have purpose or people don't make decisions, because it doesn't really matter whether you join church or don't, whether you obey the word or don't, whether you live a life of faith or don't. It all just kind of happens. Sarah. Doesn't really matter. Oh, but it matters. Mary had a fear of God. My life is in your hands. My future is in your hands. I'm meek, I'm humble. And the Bible says that she was favored. You are highly favored. How do you receive favor from God? So glad you asked. In Hebrews 11, chapter 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. In other words, without faith, it's impossible to receive the favor of God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. She had favor from God. She had favor from God. She was blessed. Has life unfolded the way you thought? Of course. You're a master planner. You have Excel spreadsheets. You have an iPhone. You have technology. I even have an ice maker. No, I'm serious. Water just gets pumped into my fridge. And it gets frozen, I just push a button, comes out. And it never runs out. Until my dad comes down and fills up his Stanley, then I gotta wait about 20 minutes. Dad, don't unleash the whole thing, please. Has life taken its, no! With whatever tools we get of control and administration, life will take its turns. And life took its turns with Mary. And yet, her life, though it was turned upside down, she carried this thing for years. Yeah. This, I'm not just talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the story. She lived in a small town, pre-social media. All you had was gossip. All you had was, hey, did you hear? All you had was, okay, I don't know about that. You know, all you had was Mary's little bump, walking around. She came back with a baby. Everyone wasn't, back then the weddings were like a week or two long. I don't remember the wedding. Yeah, it didn't happen. Oh, okay. The talk. How do you live in a town of unfaithful people? How do you carry a child, the son of God? How do you hold a family together? How do you stand at the cross and watch your son die? How do you stand there with an unwavering faith amongst people and amongst angels, amongst heaven and amongst earth, and never waver and never get bitter and never question? It has to be faith. She has this faith. Mary represents faith. Mary represents this faith in response to the word of God. No matter what I see, I have faith. I think we want more proof. I don't know about you, but have you ever prayed to see the angels? Which is funny, though, because every time an angel shows up, they're always afraid. So God said, this generation is so carnal, you can't handle an angelic sighting. It would kill you. But... we all want more proof. There's times in our life we'll struggle with proof. And I just want to float this idea this morning that maybe you need faith. Maybe it's faith that will allow you to see. Because you want to see. I was even going through this hard season, and I'm still trying to figure out, like, God, was that a miracle that I saw? I was going deep with God. What miracle could be scientifically proven that I've seen? And I was going through the different eyes that I saw healed, and there's this one lady whose glasses, she was instantaneously healed right in front of me, and I was like, okay. But it's amazing the things you see that you want to see that you still question because of faith. Why is faith so hard to have? Why is faith so hard to have? Is it because we think it's in the spiritual camp over here? That's why I love Christmas Eve in church, is because my Christmas Eves are still be over here, and then my December 17th Christmas services are supposed to be over here. But here we are, full house, we're doing good, where our secular world and our spiritual world are colliding. We're supposed to walk with God in every day. We're supposed to have faith in every day. Is faith over here? I love this because I think we struggle with the fact that faith is at war with our sight. Yes. Faith is at war with science. Faith is at war with unprovable, provable. So faith's over here. Faith's like, close your eyes and just hope. That's faith. And then science and thinking and reasoning is like, you see this? It's there. Yeah. Show me God. Well, I can't. It's just, it's over here in the faith camp. And so when you look at Mary, I love this because her faith is on display. First and foremost, she is a woman of faith. Then I love this in Luke, in the NLT, Luke 1:29, it says, confused and disturbed, I love this, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. So hold on now, Mary's a thinker. Okay, so this causes us to wrestle a little bit. Mary's a scientist. Mary's a discoverer. You'll see Mary all the time. She's in the barn. She's having a baby. And the shepherds and the wise men come. And she says that she's thinking and pondering what these could mean. So she's a thinker. Number one, she's a faith person. Number two, she's a thinker. So she's bringing her mind to it. Faith doesn't mean a lobotomy. Faith doesn't mean, hey, how you doing? I'm a person of faith. Hey, what do you think about? I don't know. Go to the thinker. No, Mary's the thinker. Mary's a person of faith. She's a thinker. And then she goes, well, how's that going to happen? She's a planner. She's practical. So she's spiritual over here. And then she's breaking out her iPad and her apps and Excel spreadsheets to map this whole thing out. So she's trying to figure out, how's this going to happen? I want to know the plan, angel. But she has so much faith that she knows when to shut up. She isn't standing in defiance of God. Well, how's the Holy Spirit going to come on me? Okay. So how though, I mean, I don't understand, because sometimes we call our questions questions, but they're really just accusations of unbelief. And there's never enough proof to cause us to believe. And so she's a woman of faith, that her faith fueled her thinking and her faith fueled her planning. They were not at war with each other. And I remember sitting there in science class in eighth grade, and I'm talking to my teacher, and she's talking about evolution, and she's talking about the progression of monkeys and apes. I'm like, cool, I don't really care. I'm a person of faith. I don't really know and care what is taught necessarily. I never ever find it in defiance of what I believe. And so I was like, oh, cool. So we call, okay, so my great grandma is a monkey. Okay, cool, whatever. But where are all the bones? And I was really interested. I'm like, I thought we were literally going to go to like an evolution museum and go see all the transitional fossils and all of this wonderful science, this thing we called science. And she's like, well, there isn't. We have like one bone. And I was like, oh, there's one bone. And it honestly threw me for a loop. I'm like, hold on. This thing that you're teaching in a book, you cannot show me. There's just some dude's opinion, almost like a prophet in a cult. Like somebody just came up with some stuff and that's what we're going to believe. And that's it. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And it started to hit me that when someone's faith is taken, their thinking becomes their faith. And so you often see stuff and believe stuff that's kind of silly. But you call it science because you don't believe, you don't have faith. And so this thing, and I don't mean to pick a fight here this morning because we can believe whatever we want to believe about certain aspects of science, but you got to understand something. At the heart of this thing, the spirit and this mindset is very anti-God. I remember being on a flight home from Alaska. I was sitting next to this PhD from UW, and I was like, dude, do you all really believe? Like, do you really believe that the world just happened? Because it's like bonkers that everything just happened. Like, nothing just ever. Ever. Believe whatever you want. Nothing ever just happens. When's the last time your laundry was folded? No, I know some of you went to school and you're kind of like, whoa, because Christian education preaches. I don't really care. I'm letting you know there's a spirit that's anti-God that has to believe in something. And so their thinking and their reasoning and their science and their Harvarding and their PhDs, they're not based on anything. It's a statement of faith. You can go to Harvard right now, and I've been, you will hear more statements of faith than provable scientific fact than you would ever hear in a church. I said, do you really believe this? And he goes, I have to. I don't believe in God. They will tell you at the highest academic level, they will tell you, listen, I cannot believe in a God that would allow this to happen. Therefore, you have no faith. And so whatever you can touch and whatever you can see, you call it faith, because we are all called to have faith. We all have faith in something. And so I said, well, I'd rather, so you just have a book. Well, I have a book too. I said, I have a book that I can still believe and I can still see, but nothing is in contradiction. Do you know that everything they truly, and I mean true science, I mean drop my pen gravity science, right? I mean like science, not some quack's idea of something that doesn't believe in God. Research it, look into it. Your faith will be built. My heart breaks for Darwin. Darwin lost his daughter to a disease in England, and he got hurt by God. And he said, I'm now in defiance of God. I must prove something else. And when you have to prove something else, you will. When you have to find a result. That's not science. Science is the discovery of God who created this entire planet and this entire world. And I'm telling you, there's a spirit that says, no, there's no purpose. We all just happened. We're all going nowhere. And I'm telling you, it's the spirit of Antichrist that says, no, I can prove to you from my book. Go to the sunset. Go to the birth of a child. Go to a wedding. Go to a fingerprint. They're now discovering snowflakes at a level that's crazy because of how powerful the microscopes are. You can see the design. You have been created. You have been created. The world has been created. God spoke, let there be light. You have been designed in the image of God. You reflect the Creator God. You reflect the Father. There is purpose. There is destiny. There is word. You have been breathed. You have the pneuma of God in you. The truth will set this generation free. And there is a conflict of truth, but truth. I got love, I've got grace, I've got compassion, but I will not be silent any longer on the thing that has robbed a generation. It's all the same spirit. It's all the same spirit. My truth. Think. 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 You cannot say that as a thinking person. Merry Christmas. It's the worst Christmas message ever. But I had to preach it because my heart grieves for the Pacific Northwest. It's a seedbed. It's a seedbed of Antichrist. And I'm telling you, all my friends who don't believe in God, it's the same thing. They want to come at me at one King James word translated by scientists and theologians hundreds of years ago. And they're asking for proof that they cannot get outside of faith. You don't need more proof today, sir. I don't mean to pick a fight. I just mean to tell you that your faith is going to come from the Word of God. And nothing in science conflicts with it. It's them that are robbing you of your faith. Some of you heard some lie or some crazy little thing, and I'm here to break that off of you right now. They're walking around saying, I'm a square circle. Don't be mean, because they're people, we love them. And I want to see them saved, but I'm not going to be silent. They're walking. My truth is I'm a square circle. Okay, where do we start with that? So now we're in the conundrum of Mary. I think we ought to go bold. You're you, and truth is truth. Truth is truth. Absolute. People are starving for absolute truth. Yeah. Do not marry yourself to broken people that are in defiance of God. It's greater proof than God himself. When you have faith, you are speeding up the process to something that has existed before me. Don't let a progressive young generation come on the scene. I've done it myself. It said, I know better. I am better. Before you tear a fence down, try to figure out why it was there. Young people, study church history. Young people, study, go to school, but understand that so many of our schools are filled with people that are in defiance of God, and they call provable things that are not provable as thought and science when it's faith. It's a statement of faith. I've never seen anything happen. That's why I believe it's the greatest lie told to a generation. Some of y'all are waiting for things to evolve. They do not evolve. They are created. Life starts at conception. There's conception. Marriages start. Salvation starts at conception. Conception. And people are hungry. I love them. The Bible doesn't say love sets them free. The Bible says truth. So people that are in prison, we must preach the gospel. Maybe that's why we don't have as many miracles, because as miracles follow the preaching of the word. And when there's no preaching of the word, there's only fear of man. So we're going back into fear of God. Going back into the fear of God to preach the word to the men we fear. And the miracles will follow the preaching of the word. Miracles are confirmation, scientific proof on people of faith. Merry Christmas. Faith. Faith. Some of you want more proof. And God says, what you need is faith. What you need is faith. And I want to give you some faith this morning, says the Lord. I'm the author of faith. You don't have to be in conflict. You don't have to choose. God says, I'll prove everything to you. God is into proof. The Bible says he went around proving himself to people. God's not anti-proof. It just all starts with faith. Faith, and then thinking, and then planning. I love this because when the angel found Mary, we discover that before she ever did anything, she had faith. This was a woman of favor and blessing and being highly esteemed because she was a woman of faith. At this age, young people, hear me, at 13, 14, 15 years old, this young girl was a full-blown woman of faith. The angels just simply confirms how much faith before she ever did anything. She had faith. Look at this. Right after this she shows up to Elizabeth. She sings this song in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. See if you can hear her faith. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is my... This moment is happening in her life. And yet now, the word of God has just activated more faith. God will give you faith. And he'll keep giving you his word. And that faith will grow. And you'll see God. You'll see God when you see a sunset, you'll see Creator God. When you come to church, you'll see God. You'll start to see the fingerprint of God all over your life when you have faith. But when you don't have faith, you'll stand there in defiance and say, prove yourself.
Yeah.
Prove yourself. And God goes, I have. Oh, I'm everywhere. I'm throughout your life. I'm throughout your story. You'll see it when you have faith. And so when the angel shows up, Mary is already in a place of faith. She's already ready. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. This is faith. He has helped his servant Israel. I need to go to school to write like this. I need to be mentored like this. All of that's wonderful. On top of faith. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge is added to faith, the Bible says. Add all of your PhDs to your faith. When they replace it, that's a scary place. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed. Worship team coming up. You know how Mary talked to Joseph? With faith. That's a conversation you can only have with faith. Whether she brought up the Holy Spirit, whether she brought up the angel, whether she brought up a prophecy, I don't know if it matters. Something happened when Mary went and talked to Joseph, because this is who she was. This is who she was. She was full of the Word of God. She was alive in the Word of God. She was full at a young age of faith in God. And God said, your faith has attracted favor. Your faith has attracted grace. Because you believe, you're blessed. She talks to Joseph in faith, a conversation that could have got her killed, a conversation that could have got her ostracized. She went to Joseph in faith, and I know that she went to Joseph in faith because she was able to move Joseph a little bit. If she wasn't able to convince Joseph that what she was experiencing, think about how abstract it would have seemed to Joseph, a man of God, from the house of David, an elder, esteemed in this town, in this city. And his young wife says she's got pregnant by God, and we're not married, and we're going to walk around, and she's going to be pregnant. But somehow Mary's faith was able to touch the heart of Joseph. That she said, this is it. Because if she wouldn't have moved his heart, he wouldn't have put her away privately. He would have put her away publicly. Because what happens in private in small towns gets known. And so no matter how privately he could have put her away, someone would have found out that they hadn't gotten married and that she got pregnant out of wedlock. And Joseph doesn't just represent himself. He represents the house of David. David. Most Abraham and David, those are the two esteemed. And Joseph is representing the house of David, and somehow Mary's faith goes to Joseph and says, this is what happened, I'm telling you. And she handled that conflict. There was conflict because Joseph didn't fully go all in, but he was able to move her where he had decided, you know what, see, putting her away privately meant he was going to put his own name on it a little bit. Publicly would have meant like, I don't want nothing to do with this. I have to protect my own reputation. But he decided to put a little bit. Her face somehow got to him a little bit. He's all right. All right, Mary. And then at night, he started to think about how to put her away privately. Then an angel showed up and said, no, this is from God. And he said, okay. Okay. He went from publicly to put her away to privately because of her faith. She stood from the beginning of that conversation, from the first song she sang to God, remember when Jesus taught in the temple and she didn't understand everything. She didn't understand. How do you discipline the Son of God? Why did you teach in the temple? You left the family. And he could have been like, well, you weren't watching me enough. I don't know how he talked back. You know, I mean, he says a little bit, but he's like, I'm about my Father's business, or I need to do this to fulfill prophecy. And how do you raise the Son of God? Faith. How do you keep a family together that doesn't believe in your Son? Faith. How do you have dinner time, and how do you do life in Galilee when people don't really believe in the full story of what you're doing? You stood in faith. When she was surrounded by people who didn't believe, she believed. When Jesus came back into town at the height of his ministry, and he's healing sick, and he's feeding 20,000 people, really, and he's doing miracles in your own town, your own neighbors scoff at your Son who is the Messiah, but they don't believe in your own town. And yet she stood in faith. She watched her Son get nailed to the cross, and she stood in faith. She saw the birth of the church, and she stood in faith. But it hit me so hard. Where's Mary in Hebrews? And where's Mary in Peter? Where's Mary in the book of James? Her Son that ended up believing in Jesus after the cross. I would think that they would highly esteem her. The woman of faith that received grace himself into her womb. The picture of salvation. Which is this woman of faith receives the person of grace And that is salvation. I'm saved by grace through faith. It seems to be the ultimate picture of faith that God chose her. She was this pure, humble picture of faith. But in regards to faith, like Paul said, I will not boast of my faith. I'll boast of my weakness. It seems that history and theology and the canon of scripture seems to elevate her testimony, pure, unprovoked, unbitter. And yet when grace started to come onto the stage, her life of faith seemed to exit stage left as grace took the prominent role in the church and in the town and in the city and into the world. My faith, when it comes to faith is, it's all about faith. It's all, the righteous will live by faith. And faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word. It's all things are possible. Jesus went and talked about your faith. How's your faith? But when it's all about faith, faith is all about grace. And so as her life of faith, unwavered, went up, she seemed to fade, stage left. And her faith gave way to grace. Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Stand with me this morning. I want to light my candle. And I want this candle of faith. I want this to light all the candles. This is what faith can do. In the Pacific Northwest, let our faith be like a fire. It's like a lamp. It's a city set on a hill. Who puts a lamp on a fire under a bed, under a basket? We will not. Faith will spread. Faith will spread. God wants to give you the gift of faith. God wants to give you the gift of faith. And it will touch every aspect of your life. It will hit your thinking world. It'll hit your midnight. It'll hit your valley. It'll hit every part. Here, take some faith. Your faith will spread. It'll be the most contagious part of your life. It'll be the most contagious part of anybody that you interact with. They're going to interact with your faith. They might not receive it right off the bat, but they'll get a taste, and they'll interact with the Word of God on the inside of your life. Your faith will spread to your family, to your coworkers. Your faith in Jesus, your fear of God, your humility, and they'll say, "Where'd your faith come from?" It comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Word of God. My faith burns ever more brightly in this year as we go into 2024. He said, I want to give you faith. Receive it. If you need faith this morning, not just hope. Hope is wonderful. It's where it starts. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you start with hope, the evidence of things not seen. There are some things you won't see except in faith. Faith allows you to love. Faith allows you to believe. Faith allows you to have a clear head. Faith allows you to receive the Holy Spirit. There's the spirit of this world, and then there's the Holy Spirit. And he wants to give you the Holy Spirit. Receive faith this morning, church, as the fire spreads in this place on this Christmas Eve. He said, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. Let me come. Let the Word of God take up residence in your life. Let faith come. The gift of faith be given.
your Son. We thank you for salvation. We thank you that we have someone and some story and reality to put our faith in. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that we know you. We thank you that our faith is anchored. Our faith is in the Word of God. The Word of God that doesn't change. The Word of God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's sing. We got one more song. Before we leave this place, let's sing this together.
Celebrate Jesus. We love you so much. Merry Christmas.